see here. We're going to look at, we're going to read one verse and we're going to talk about some things today. Review for some and maybe new information for others, but 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I know I have access to the internet just like you guys do. I know that there are people on the internet that will tell you that you're crazy if you believe in dispensations. Well, let me tell you this. I believe that they are spiritually confused if they don't believe in dispensations. And I believe the Bible is a jumbled up mess without dispensations. I mean, you just can't look at Moses and Adam and the tribulation time and the millennial reign and say, well, it's all the same. Everything's exactly the same. And it just doesn't make sense. That's like saying a piece of bacon is the same as a peanut butter cookie. There's a difference. Amen. Because it's a different dispensation in eating. At one time you're eating bacon, which is a good thing, and then you switch over to eating peanut butter cookies, which is a good thing. Amen. They're the same. They're food, but they're different. And one of them's good for you, bacon, right? And the peanut butter cookie's just slightly good for you. But no, seriously, dispensationalism is the only way you can believe, understand, and make sense of the alleged contradictions and confusion in the Bible. It's not that the Bible needs our help. It's that we need it the help from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and He says to rightly divide. So we're going to look at some things about rightly dividing today. Say, well, rightly dividing, that's, you know, you're just taking away from Jesus Christ. No, we're adding to it, because we're not adding to it. We're adding to the fact that that's not the right terminology. We're not adding to it. We are pointing to the fact that God is long-suffering. That's why He decided to use dispensations. He gave man every chance possible to please Him. And He gave man a picture of man through mankind's history, saying, look, you messed up here, you messed up here, you messed up here, you messed up here. And the perfect man, my Son Christ Jesus, He did everything right. And now you've just put your trust in Him, calling Him for forgiveness. And now you can be saved by the grace of God. You can be born into the family of God and sealed into the family of God. And then the rapture. So we can look forward to getting out of here, right? Because this place is a dumpster, right? But we still get to tell people about Jesus Christ while we're here. I want to look at these different dispensations, and you don't have to agree that they're these exact dispensations, but this is what it looks like to me in the Bible. This is what many preachers in the past have believed. Not very many today, but Clarence Larkin, he did a major work on this. It was a good work, and I believe he's really, really onto something. I think he's right about this. We're going to look at different time periods here, and this one here is creation to the fall. Now, I know this is a review for some folks, but I want to make sure we're on the same page here. Creation to the fall. And this is from the fall to the flood. And flood to Abraham. Abraham to, and you'll see this listed different ways. They'll say different things, like they'll say Adam to the fall and different things, but this is basically what it is. Abraham to Moses. This is Moses to Calvary, if you will. This is Calvary to rapture. And if that upsets you, you can call it the catching away or whatever. And we've got the rapture to, we'll call it Armageddon, Battle of Armageddon. And then you have Battle of Armageddon to Battle of Gog and Magog. And you'll see oftentimes, if I refer to these, I'll refer to them in different names, but it's basically the same thing. I like to do it a little bit different once in a while so you remember where things are. It's easier to remember, you know, say, well, this is from the rapture to the end of the tribulation. Okay, what happens at the end of the tribulation? So this helps us remember this stuff. Then you have eternity out here. So from creation to the fall is what we refer to as the age of innocence. Or if I spell it right, but I didn't. How in the world do you spell innocence? How did I forget that? Somebody help me out here. You ever write something down that just don't look right? You've written it down 100 times? C-E-N-C-E? Sleep always helps too. Let's see. So the age of innocence. Adam and Eve were innocent. They were given one rule. They broke the rule. That ended that dispensation. God ended that. And you go from that time to the flood. And that's conscience. Age of conscience. And then you've got the age of human government. And then Abraham to Moses, we have the promise, age of promise. And after the promise, we have the law. And then from roughly Calvary to the rapture, we have the church age, which is also often called the age of grace. I like to call it the church age. I don't have a problem with the age of grace, except that God's always shown his grace. I mean, he showed grace in the garden, he showed grace all the way through. But it is the dispensation of the grace of God. It is the church age, but I just like to call it church age. Keeps all the confusion to a minimum, I guess. So the church age, and then from the rapture, the end of the church age, to the Battle of Armageddon, we have what's commonly referred to as the tribulation, which is also the time of Jacob's trouble. And then after the end of the tribulation time, we have the thousand-year reign of Christ. I don't want to write millennial. So there's a thousand-year reign of Christ, millennial reign. So that's what God does. He, you know, the people say, "Well, God is God, and God never changes." That's true. But the things He expects from man changes, has changed over the past and will change in the future. Here's the reason we know that. Where there is no law, no sin is imputed. That's what the Bible says. So there's a difference between when somebody understands the law, somebody in the giving of the law, and after the law. You know, before the law and after the law. So the age of innocence, God gave Adam and Eve one rule: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he's dealing with people by their conscience, and they're supposed to live by their conscience. You ever heard somebody let your conscience be your guide? God gave them that opportunity, it didn't work out, so don't do that. Let the Bible be your conscience, and then let that be your guide. So then human government, and we can still see today how that's working out. I mean, human government failed. Promise. He gave Abraham promises, and this is where it gets kind of sticky for people, because then they're saying, well, they didn't keep their end of the deal, so God's through with Israel and he's giving everything to the church. Well, no. God gave one-way promises here. The timing's not in God's perfect will because Israel didn't do what God called them to do. But But this starts over again up here, and it will happen. So the promise and then the law. The law, he gave them clear law, clear legal wording. You know, this man's making up excuses all the way through, and God's taking away the excuses. So by the time you get up here, we're without excuse for anything. I mean, you could say, well, if I was just in a perfect place like Adam, yeah, you'd have done same thing Adam did, probably worse. Well, if I could just live by my conscience, yeah, well, tell me how that's working out for you today, and you have the extra information. Okay, so human government, okay. What can we say about that? We're not going there. And then promise, we know that Israel blew it on their end for the timing, but God's keeping his promise. The law, God says, keep these commandments. They broke them before he got down from the mount with them. I mean, they were down there. They were down there having a contemporary church service when he got back. That's really what they were doing. They were down there dancing around naked, singing. They didn't know if it was war or what was going on down there. And worshiping the golden calf, prosperity. And you say, well, the people, they were just so wicked. Aaron's the one that helped them. He says, there's your God. There's the one that delivered you out of Egypt. Worship that golden calf. Just be the best you can be. Amen? That didn't work out too well. Church age started off great. It's not working out too well at this point either. That's why God's going to finally say, you know what, I'm done here. We're going to call the church out and then go on into the reign of the Antichrist for a short time, the tribulation time. And halfway through that thing is when the devil turns on Israel and tries to wipe them out. And if it weren't for God, he would. And then after the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ takes the throne by force, rules with a rod of iron, and for 1,000 years, and then the Battle of Gog and Magog after the devil's loosed, and on into eternity. So the reason dispensations are important is when you're, just a couple of examples, is one is, I can show you in the Bible where you can lose your salvation. I can show you in the Bible where somebody could lose their salvation. Saul, in the Old Testament, had the Holy Spirit. God took it away from him. If he would have died with the Holy Spirit, he'd have been good. He'd have been going to Abraham's bosom looking for heaven in the future. But God took that spirit. Not only did he take that spirit from him, he sent an evil spirit to him. And David was asking God not to take his spirit from him. Anybody here ask that? We don't want God's hand off of us, but we know we're not going to lose the Spirit of God. We are born into the family of God. David wasn't born again. Saul wasn't born again. Samuel wasn't born again. Those people weren't born again. So there's a difference. Adam, he was born. He wasn't born again. The second Adam paid the debt for all this. So another example of why dispensations are important and real. You say, well, the Bible says, you know, we got to endure to the end. And you probably heard people say that. You say, well, no, we believe once saved. Oh, that once saved, always saved. You know, you got to endure to the end. Well, when the Bible's talking about enduring to the end, it's talking about people over here in the tribulation time that are trying to get past the tribulation. And what they're doing by enduring to the end is not taking the mark, trusting the Lord, and he's not saving their eternity. He's saving their life to bring them into millennial reign. The people that are getting salvation in this, they're getting saved by trusting Jesus Christ, getting their head chopped off, not taking the mark, not worshiping the beast. Over here, this is where people get goofy. So, well, we took the mark. You took the shot. You took the mark. Good luck. You took it. That's all I can tell you. But you didn't take the mark of the beast. You didn't take the mark of the beast. And if you did take the mark of the beast, you're born again. You're not going to lose being born again. You know? So there has to be something different between here and here, because these people could actually believe in Christ and lose it by worshiping the Antichrist. If you could lose salvation here by following the devil instead of the Lord, there wouldn't be a Baptist in here. Amen. Oh, that's mean. Okay, you know, what is truth? We'll just give you a dose of it. That's what the truth is. There are days we don't follow God. There are days the devil says do this, and guess what? We take him over God sometimes. So if you could lose your salvation, it'd be over. We'd be toast. But God's going to be able to, at the white throne of judgment, he's going to be able to answer every man that makes every excuse, and they will make every excuse probably. That, you know, if this and if that. And the Lord's going to say, did you read my book? Because I give them that chance here, I give them that chance here, I give them, well, I didn't believe in dispensation. God's going to say, I'm sorry, I did. You know, and even if you didn't believe in dispensations and you thought you had to endure to the end, you didn't do it. So you're without excuse, right? So being long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he gave his only begotten Son so man would have a chance. You don't have a chance without the Lord. When you get up here in the tribulation time, he's dealing with his elect. And that's another thing that gets all goofy with different belief systems. When God's talking about his elect, the vast majority of the time he's talking about Israel. Occasionally he's talking about Jesus Christ. But when he's talking about the elect, he's talking about Israel. And when you're talking about, if he does use the word elect about the church, and somebody wants to go there and try to prove Calvinism, the Bible says that when it talks about these verses, it talks about being elect according to foreknowledge. That means he didn't force you to get saved. If they want to apply that to you, he didn't force you to get saved. He knew you'd get saved because he's God. That's foreknowledge. That's what foreknowledge means. I'm not sure if 6-year-old, but probably by the time somebody's 12, they can tell you what foreknowledge means. Foreknowledge means he knew ahead of time. And you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You're not predestinated for salvation. You're predestinated, if you trust Christ, from that point on, your predestination to be conformed to the image of Christ starts. As soon as you say, Lord, forgive me and save me, and you mean it, and you're saved, you are predestined to be, you are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Some people are going kicking and screaming, amen, but they are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's just the way it is. That's what predestination is. That's what election's about. The biggest part of the time when God's talking about election, he's an elect, he's talking about Israel. I mean, good night. When the United States people vote and somebody counts them however they want to count them, and we get a president, they're elect whether we like it or not. Israel's elect whether they like it or not. God picked them in the Old Testament. He gave them some promises. Whether they like it or not, he's going to keep his end of it. And he keeps his end of it right here. So when you're reading the Bible and you get confused about these things, about, well, you know, the guy down the street, you know, he's a Lutheran, or this guy's a Methodist, or this guy's a Southern Baptist, American Baptist, you know, Wacky Baptist, whatever. And he says this, he says you have to endure the end, and he showed me a verse. Just remember, God's talking about people to endure the tribulation time. You know what Elijah had to do? He had to endure a drought, a famine, a drought that he brought on. And God brought him through by bringing bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. Israel, in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they had to endure some things, but God took care of their needs. He did meet their needs. They didn't even trust him to do it all the time, but he did meet their needs. So they were enduring. I mean, I understand we're enduring kind of in a way here, but we're not enduring to keep our salvation. We're just trying to stay on the right track, right side of God, and be in the will of God when we leave this place, right? So those that endure the end, he that endureth the end shall be saved. Well, it's talking about a physical salvation of somebody's physical life in the tribulation, taking them on into the millennial reign. And those folks that are martyred for the cause of Christ, there we know that their souls under the altar, it talks about in Revelation, that were beheaded for not taking the mark and not worshiping the beast. We understand that too. But when you get to a part of the Bible that says that don't make sense, don't throw the Bible away. Figure out what it means. Remember this. Remember there's different time periods where God required different things. God did not require the Ten Commandments for Adam. God did not require the Ten Commandments for Abram. God did not require Adam to build an ark. Jesus Christ is our ark. He doesn't require us to do the work. Isn't it funny how he's the ark of our salvation? Moses or Noah built an ark, but he had to do it. So there was works involved. He had to build the ark. Trust God and do the work. Well, God done the work, now you got to trust God. So God, he's given man every opportunity. And people just want to say, well, there's no difference anywhere. We'll blend it together and make up our own reasoning on it. And then if they can't twist it and contort it and conflate it and mess with it until they make it sound good. They just say, well, there's something wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with us. And that's why he keeps giving man chance after chance after chance all the way up to church age. So that's it. So when anybody says, well, everything's always been the same, everybody always got saved the same way, everybody's always, everything's exactly the same from Adam all the way to the, alleged spiritual kingdom that some people are bringing in or whatever. Say, well, Adam had one rule. Noah had to build an ark. Abram was given some promises. Some of them were unconditional. And Jesus Christ died for whosoever will. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So if there's works here and there's not works here, there's a difference. I mean, you can see these differences, and they make sense when you start plugging them into dispensation. Anybody have a Bible question or comment on this chart, brother? Oh, good night, yes. Yeah. And that's a good point, because there is a big difference between the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints, in a sense, they didn't have the revelation we have. They didn't have the sealing, the new birth. But they get it. Israel, they're going to inherit a physical place. We're going to a fire cell, man. We're going to a place where he said, I give you everything. All you had to do was follow me. And he's going to say, no, all those works that you thought you were doing, all the, the wells you dug in Haiti, all the, gazillion dollars you put in the plate when you were out of the will of God, whatever. That doesn't mean anything to me. To obey is better than sacrifice, right? That's us. I mean, a good night. We're going to stand there and go, well, I thought we had something. He said, you did. You still saved. Yeah, there was sometimes the judgment in the Old Testament also was allowing things to happen. The priesthood got to be really messed up. And that's just kind of like David's family. It's just kind of the way it went. I've often thought that too. But see, he did give a promise, and if he had just wiped Aaron out, he'd have had to figure out some other way to do his promise, because he promised it through an Aaronic priesthood. He didn't say a perfect priesthood. He said Aaronic priesthood, that lineage. So maybe he just didn't wipe Aaron out immediately and say, you're done, because he was going to keep that promise down the line, just like he didn't wipe David out because he'd already made a promise. He'd already had a plan to, have the throne of David for eternity